Quest for Truth, Episode 291.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here is your host, making moles out of a groundhog, Keith Helsley.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and you're listening to Quest for Truth, where we take a look at worldviews at a casual setting and try to find the truth in what's real in the world and what's real with the Bible. And I'm saying all this because I know in recent weeks we've had a lot of new listeners, and it always pays to say welcome to the new listeners and give a fast overview of what we're all about. Today, I am live here in Church House Studios, and I have a special guest on that we were going to have on about 2 weeks ago, but due to some technology difficulties with Zoom, couldn't quite make it happen. But here in the studio is a special guest who we've known each other all of his life, but not all of mine, because it's my little brother, Perry.
Yay, I'm special. I'm Perry Helsley.
Yeah, and so, yeah, you're about a year and a couple of months younger than me, so you have to say that, you know, early on, I really resented you even being born because you ruined my chances of being an only child forever.
Indeed, thanks.
But at least I wanted to have you come on just because we've been doing a lot of guest interviews lately. This would be a good spot for me to pause and interject a commercial break for a podcaster who is in our Christian podcast community. You can find all the great podcasts and podcasters there, christianpodcastcommunity.org. Here we go.
Hey, I want to talk about Kootenai Church Morning Worship with Jim Osmond. Now, this verse-by-verse preaching podcast features a Sunday morning worship service of Kootenai Community Church. And let me tell you, Kootenai is spelled K-O-O-T-E-N-A-I. And it's worth the listen. It is their morning worship service, but Jim Osmond does an excellent job at presenting the scripture in his sermon and going through it in an expository way, line by line and verse by verse and word by word, bringing everything out in its context so you get the meaning of what scripture actually says and not what you want it to say. So find them at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Click on the button towards the bottom that says shows. You'll find their listing, Kootenai Community Church, in there. Click it, subscribe, and enjoy. And don't forget to drop them a line and tell them how you heard about them.
Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report is a podcast providing biblical interpretations and applications. It is a ministry of striving for eternity and part of the Christian podcast community. We provide a biblical view of cultural events, discuss how to apply God's word to the Christian life, address issues that concern the church, and we even take some time to offer a correct understanding of those commonly misinterpreted passages of Scripture. You will hear from great guests like Justin Peters, Todd Friel, J. Warren Wallace, and Gabe Hughes. Andrew has the Rap Report Daily, which is a 2-minute Monday through Friday podcast, and then the longer Rap Report podcast for more content. Subscribe to both today by searching for Rap Report on any podcast app, spelled R-A-P-P Report, or click the podcast link at strivingforeternity.org.
Life Song Radio with Blake Schenkel, Phil Ramsey, and Tom Hammond. Lifesong Radio is a weekly podcast designed to teach and study God's Word line by line, verse by verse, and also teach those listening how to study the Word for themselves. And let me tell you, these three guys, we talk about a deep dive into the Bible. If you think we go deep on our monthly Truth Exposed, these guys go deeper. We may cover a whole passage. They might stick on one verse and really get to all the meaning in that, in its context, expository. And it is definitely worth the listen. And they're easy to understand, so don't be scared off. They're not going to talk to you in deep theological terms. They talk in words everybody can understand. So check them out on ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. Click on the button towards the bottom of the page that says Shows. You'll find a big list of all the shows. Scroll down till you find the Lifesong Radio. Click it, subscribe, click on the email link, and let them know how you found them.
But we're back. And, you know, to open things up, I have some icebreaker questions that I have a bunch of them. So how about if you pick a number between 1 to 100 and we'll see what random question you get?
Twelve.
12? Okay.
That's the month I was born.
Let's see. Would you rather become someone else or just stay you? If you had a choice, would you rather?
I would try. I wouldn't mind being somebody else.
It could be an interesting thing. I don't know if I'd want to stay somebody else like forever, but
yeah, me either.
maybe for a little while, it could be interesting. All right. Well, that was a pretty quick and easy one. Do you want to try another one?
Number six. We'll go with the low numbers.
Yeah. Well, six. Who is your favorite Disney hero or heroine, and would you trade places with them?
Oh gosh, Disney hero.
I know you have a Mickey Mouse thing on your Apple Watch. So.
On my watch, yeah. I've always liked Aladdin.
Okay.
Because he was pretty slick.
Yeah, well, the Disney version, I think, is. If you read the original, where'd it come from? 1001 Nights or something like that?
Arabian Nights or something like that.
He, I guess he was kind of slick in that one, too, but.
The King of Thieves. He was getting them jewels.
There's a little more complex of a character there, but I guess in the end he was kind of a good guy.
Yeah.
So this
turned out to be a good guy.
A couple of fast icebreaker kind of questions to get things going. I don't always have a chance to use those because sometimes technology likes to prevent me from doing that. So I just wanted to whip that out. Now, I do have another segue here, but as we get ready for that,
our totally new segment that we haven't even thought up a name for yet.
And so, now a couple weeks ago, I was going to have you on, and there were some questions that Nathan Caldwell and I ended up talking about. And I thought I would give you the chance, if you want to run through those questions. Did you want to do that? There's just some basic questions.
Sure.
About God.
I don't have them pulled up, though.
I do. Okay. I'm prepared. The first one to start out with is who or what is God? And I, before you answer, you can think about it a little second. As I phrased it that way, who or what, because this is the kind of questions that, anybody, you or I or anybody, could ask somebody. And maybe you don't know where they stand in their belief with God. And maybe to somebody, God is a thing and not so much a person, or like, you know, the Force in Star Wars or something. And so the question is really just to kind of toss a line out there and say, okay, it's open-ended. Who or what do you think God is? So how would you answer that?
Lisa, it depends on who. If somebody asked me that question, which you are, but I'm just saying, if I ask that question to someone, it depends on, like, how they look at things. I mean, I would say, you know, on the God is the ultimate supreme being. He created everything. He's everywhere. And, you know,
and that would be like omnipresent, I think would be the word, everywhere.
Scientific aspect, he's everywhere. Yeah. He created everything. He's the ultimate supreme being.
Right.
Yeah.
So you kind of would say like he's, it would be like the standard, you know, of the ultimate of, you know, power and strength and knowledge and so forth, maybe.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, a follow-up question is, you know, maybe you're still a bit confused when you're talking to somebody about who they think God might be. And that is to simply ask, how did you arrive at that conclusion? Or maybe how did you learn about God? One of those, I mean, those kind of one question, just different ways to phrase it.
Reading the Bible, growing up, going to church and reading the Bible. You know, the Bible has the answers to all life's questions, and most of the questions are answered about God in the Bible. So, learn it by reading the Bible, going to Sunday school.
All right, and that's definitely a good way, is to have the Bible inform our, you know, understanding of God based on what it says, because it's pretty complete and comprehensive book. You know, but there's some people out there maybe who are maybe Muslim who say, we serve the same God as Abraham. Well, maybe you think you do. Maybe that's where you point to. But if you talk to somebody from a faith like that.
I was thinking of that the Muslim is like the New Testament? I don't know.
they say that our New Testament is corrupt, but I think their stuff is much more corrupted than what they want to admit. Or sometimes people say, well, you know, what about the Greek gods or Norse gods? You know, so sometimes it's, you never know where someone's going to go with what they think or who they think God is. And so it's always good to ask, well, how do you come to that conclusion, you know, when you're talking to people?
It seems like every country, every place might have a different thing they worship, but it's always one thing. It's always a God that's a supreme being of some sort, you know, but.
Well, you were in the Army, and I was in the Marines. We've both been overseas. And have you ever had somebody in your unit be something like, oh, man, we're not back in the USA anymore. You got to behave with the gods over here. We're going to get you if you don't behave like they do over here. You know, I've had people say that. It's like, no, I think you're mistaken. I mean, my God's not that small.
Yeah. Well,
but then,
they still the countries I went to was over in Europe, and they still believe in and God and the Bible and all that. You were in like Japan and things like that.
Yeah, Okinawa, Japan.
Have that lady with the eight arms and everything.
Yeah, well, that I think is India, not so much Japan, but. Yeah. Just as a warning to listeners, there could be some kids running through here because I just heard the pitter-pat of little toddler feet run through.
So, I thought it was a mouse.
It was a stampede of mice running through, yeah. But anyway, the third question here is kind of how to guide the conversation a little bit. And that is, what do you think God wants for us, you know, for our lives? If there is a God and we can know God and we learn about him, what is it, do you think, he wants for us?
He wants us to love everyone. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply and live long and prosper. You know, to believe in him as the creator and his son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins.
Yeah, and you know, you might say that, and, so you're actually getting ahead of the questions just a little bit, whether you know or not. But that's okay. That's okay. The purpose here, the end goal is, of course, the big picture look is that in the end, he wants everyone to be with him for eternity. Because if you look at the Bible, he created earth for people to live and enjoy being with him on the earth. And in the end, he wants us to get back to that. And so to me, that's kind of how I would summarize it. Some people get hung up in like the daily things.
We corrupted it. We corrupted it. He took off.
Some people like get hung up on a daily thing, like you said, about he wants us to love and, you know, be kind and gracious toward each other, which is all good. And some people get hung up on, you know, how do I know what God wants to get a new job or something. But in the big picture, he's going for the long shot. He wants us to be with him. That's how I would put it. So now you kind of mentioned this for the next question is, what is the problem that keeps this from happening, from us being with God? Because we're not with God. He's not, you know, like, you know, exactly prominent in the world.
We corrupted it with sin.
Ooh, ding, 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 ding. I mean, there's no other answer than that, you know.
We corrupted it with sin, and he took off and left us on our planet. And we keep sinning. And
now, if you talk to somebody who doesn't understand those concepts, what you could do is basically say, you know, if you know who Ray Comfort is, but he does this on YouTube all the time, is ask somebody, well, let's look at the Ten Commandments. You know, just go through some basic ones. Have you ever told a lie? And if they tell you no, they're telling you a lie.
Right.
Have you ever killed somebody or lusted after somebody? He goes through, you know, about a big old bunch of them. But just if you go through a few, you've already admitted you're a liar, you're somebody who maybe hates people or less. And so right there you go. And if you've broken those laws, then you're guilty.
And I was listening to this other podcast, and I could mention them, and they were saying that a lot of people say that Christians are hypocrites. And the guy said, yes, we are.
But the thing is, Christians know they are. It's just people who aren't think it's a big revelation.
And they think, we got you, you're hypocrites. And it's like, yes, we are. And, you know, because, you know, we sin every day. But you have to ask for forgiveness pretty much every day.
And another comeback to that is, you ever go to the hospital? There's a lot of sick people in there. How can you think you're well if you get in here being sick? Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm sick, so I can get well. If you're a Christian, we know we're hypocrites because we're not perfect, or we're trying to go through the motions of what faith is all about to overcome that. So, of course, we just know we are, and people who aren't Christians are amazed at that. So now that we know that there's a problem with sin, how can we overcome that? And you already mentioned that too.
I did.
When you talked about Jesus dying on the cross and stuff like that.
Right.
I told you, you jumped ahead. It's okay. But these questions are just to kind of guide through. You don't have to go through them in any particular order. And if you do jump ahead, there's no problem. But the point is if you know whoever you're talking to hasn't already said the phrase, come back on that. How do we overcome the problem of sin? Because sin does lead to death eternally, and that is through Jesus. And that's actually the last question. It's just a short list, and from there, if you're really wanting to speak with somebody and they're willing to listen, you could tell them more, about Jesus came to earth, he died, took away the sins, and now it's up to us to say we believe it or not. So,
John 3:16.
Yeah, and that's it in a real fast nutshell. So there's that segment. I just wanted to give you the chance because I know I was really looking forward to having you contribute with that. We had this discussion with Nathan Caldwell. But here's the third thing that I want to talk to you about.
Main topic.
Is that, often on this show we have guests come on, maybe they're being interviewed, maybe they're, the person on the radio who does, apologetics or discipleship, or they're a book author, or they have a podcast, and you don't really have any of those things. You're just a regular guy out there trying to get by every day with all kinds of things to work through and overcome. So, but there is something that's different about you, and there's something different about me, but I'd rather not talk about myself. And that is that both of us have a disability, and which happens to be the same thing, which is being blind. And I wanted to talk about that. And
I thought you were going to say we're both fat. Okay.
Well, fat and bald, probably. I'm not how bald you are. But...
no.
But the thing is,
I am blind.
Yeah. Which presents some obstacles sometimes. You go to church and people sometimes don't know how to deal with that, especially if you've, like each of us, at one point we could see just fine. At one point we couldn't. And now suddenly go to church and the whole worship experience could be different. And so from your experience, how do you see it being different or the same?
It's a little different. I don't have to read Bible verses anymore.
the Sunday school teacher will say, okay, Terry, I want you to read Psalm 119, starting at verse 1, going out to 180 or whatever it is.
They don't have to call on me for that. No, I get my, get my Sunday school lessons on CDs and listen to those. I believe I was undiagnosed as dyslexic because I can't read with my eyes anymore, but sometimes I speak dyslexic. So
and by anyway, CDs, of course, you mean that it's like an audio book.
Compact disc, right.
There's somebody that reads the actual student lesson book.
And they, they're very well done. They get them, they order them for me quarterly, but I haven't got any new ones with the coronavirus going on, et cetera. Got a little bit behind.
And with churches not having Sunday school, they probably just haven't ordered for whatever time has been absent. Now, I have a question in that regards with the audio book style quarterlies is whenever a person, can read the book and you're sitting in class, you can kind of follow along as someone's reading the scripture, or follow along as somebody's reading maybe a paragraph out of the commentary. Do you ever take your CDs with you and cue them up and try to listen along? Or do you just...
I usually just sit there and daydream. I just sit there and listen, you know, to the class instead of following along. Me and my wife are in the same class, so you know, we walked in together, et cetera. But still, it's like a couples class, I guess, you know, and they do a good job, I believe, of following through the lesson.
So you basically use that to prepare, just to read ahead of time, right, so you get an idea.
Right, so that I have an understanding of what it's going to be. Because anymore, it'd be, well, I can't read the book. I don't know what this class is going to be about. I have no idea. At least with the audio, I can hear, I listen to it ahead of time, you know, usually before we go to church Sunday morning, or sometimes Saturday night, listen to it. And just to get an understanding of what they're going to be discussing in the class, right, in case I have any questions too.
And so as far as actual actively participating, sometimes, like you said, you just have to sit there and listen. And so if let's say the teacher was going to say, okay, discussion question, what do you think about this class? What did Jesus mean when he said, I will be back from heaven? And you'd be like, I don't know. You kind of catch me cold here, where someone could actually look at the book and see, well, here's the answer in paragraph 3 of the commentary.
Right.
And so that, I can see that being a bit of a problem.
Right. And, yep. And
now, what I do is I don't get them, my lessons, in audio format. I actually have a PDF files that are sent, and with the material, it's for a little bit less actually than what the church would have to pay for one quarterly lesson book for the student. I get not only the student book but the leader book, and you get a copy in PDF, one each, but the leader book you actually get a teaching plan and the commentary in Microsoft Word format, because the idea is if you're the teacher, you can streamline your lesson before you go into class. But it helps me because I can actually read through all these texts and streamline my own notes. So I could actually, and I often do, I'll have it on my phone and I'll have like a bulleted list of questions and talking points. So when I'm sitting in class, I can just swipe down my phone and like, okay. And I can, it helps me participate better. But not, of course, not everybody could probably do that.
But I try to mute my phone and turn voiceover off in class, because otherwise it tells the time and the teacher's like, thank you.
But I usually either have a hearing aid or an earbud or something plugged in so it mutes it, so I don't have to worry about it. I can hear it, but nobody else can.
But they like the fact that it would tell them, you know, the time, and so they would say, all right, we only got a few minutes left. You know,
here's a bunny trail. Bunny trail alert. You know how usually at some point, most churches have a doorbell, and you hear the ring. Okay, we only have 5 minutes left to class, people. Let's wrap this up. I literally on my phone would have a Sunday school alarm that goes off every Sunday at, I forget, 10:30, and so whenever my phone goes bling, or I actually played a ringtone. Then that would be the church bell to tell the class, we got to wrap this up. Anyway, yeah. End of bunny trail. So now when it comes to other parts of church worship, of course, you go into big church, quote unquote, And you have, you know, songs, and you have the sermon. And, you know, of course, hey, people take for granted, we're going to open the hymnals to page such and such. We're going to put the overhead up so you can read the big overhead, or open your Bibles to, you know, John chapter 7.
I've actually, you know, on our phones, because we're blind, we have these apps that are useful. And I've actually taken my phone out, you know, when they show the lyrics to the songs on the big screen. I've actually tried to take a picture of it so my phone would read it to me.
No.
But it didn't work real well, but I tried.
Yeah, so if you hopefully had some luck with that. I know there's some OCR apps that are supposed to do pretty well with that. I know you have a device, right? They call that thing the OrCam.
Is that an OrCam or the CanFB? It's like the CanFB reader, the OrCam.
Would that work on that? Because it's
I don't know if I've tried it or not.
For listeners who obviously don't know what we're talking about, the OrCam is a device. It's a wearable on a head, eyeglasses, right? And you can you can be in the real world and snap a picture, and if there's like a street sign, it's supposed to read it to you, or you're at McDonald's looking at the menu, you can snap a picture and have it read to you or something.
Right. It's a camera that mounts on the earpiece of your glasses, and what you can do is, if you know there's a sign somewhere, you can take your finger, your index finger of your right hand, because it's usually mounted on the right side of your glasses, you can touch your nose, and as you take your hand away from your nose, you twist it to where you're looking at, would be looking at your fingernail. That's what the camera tracks, is your fingernail pointing.
So it's like a cursor on the computer. It sees your finger like that.
But it tracks your fingernail. Whenever you point that, you don't have to extend your arm out to poke somebody in the face, but you can just point it out there, and whatever you're pointing at, it'll take a picture and start reading it to you, whatever it sees, any text. But
and so that could be handy to try for overhead to read.
It works well, you know, a lot better. Like, say, if you had the hymnal book, you could actually use it, but it doesn't do well sometimes, because it wants to read the first line of verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6, then down to the next one. You know, it doesn't read the first one.
Right, because the way the hymnal is written, you have, you know, the first, in the first bar of music, it has all the verses, then the next bar of music have all the next line of the verses. It can be a pain.
Right. I think that's why, like, on the projection screens, they might just have the lyrics for the first verse printed, then the chorus, and then the second verse is all printed. Line after each sentence is the next line of the song. You know, I believe that's how that is. I don't know. I've never had anybody with a vision tell me.
In case there's any worship leaders out there listening to us, a word to be helpful for blind people is, when you say we're going to sing this song, it'd be really helpful to say the full title of the song, or if there's a number, is equivalent to a number in the hymnal. You know, we're going to sing song 295, the song number title is blah, blah. And then give people just a little bit of a chance to find it, even though it's up on the screen, because I'll tell you why. A few years back, I was able to acquire the full complete Baptist hymnal copyright 2008 in Braille format, which I converted to text format, which I proofread, which I totally went through song by song, line by line, verse and chorus, codas, and all that fancy stuff, and made it into a searchable web page. And so if someone knows the URL, which I'm not going to say at the moment, but maybe I'll put it in the show notes, is you just visit it, and like I said, song that hops up, open up to Silent Night, Holy Night, let's say, because maybe it's Christmas time. You just, if you're on this website, the search box is right near the top. Tap it, you use your dictate button, get up close, Silent Night, Holy Night, And then you hit, when it puts it in there, you hit, you know, the button, and it gives you results back. You find the right one, and within about time the church congregation finishes with the first verse and they're going into the chorus, you're just now finding the page. Yeah. But then once you're there, you can just quickly swipe through and get caught up. Okay, let's starting verse 2. Let's go. But the problem then is we're going to sing the first 2 verses and then go to the 4th, or the first 2 and skip to the 5th. Well, if you're going to skip, tell the blind guy that too, because otherwise we're going to be singing verse 3 and you're on verse 5. So worship leaders, be aware of some helpful ways to help a blind guy out who might be in your congregation who would like to sing, but I don't sing because I don't know the words. And even if I do, sometimes I don't know all of them. But that's anyway, it's just a little pet peeve.
I can sing if I know the words. The words I know.
I'll never claim to be a good singer, but I don't mind. But yeah, I'm not opposed to singing. I don't mind blending into the crowd, but I'd rather follow along with the words. But yeah,
little help. I sound just like Homer Simpson, and my wife sounds like Marge.
Yeah. 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 My wife sounds better than that, but I don't. So anyway, worship service, and so we talked about that a little bit. Some things are different. Now, what about when they start the sermon, the preacher gets up and he's preaching along? I mean, it's easy because it's essentially a lecture, right? You can just kind of sit back and just listen. But a lot of times they'll say, open up your Bible to Matthew 18. I'll wait till you get there. Like, okay. Do you ever try to follow along?
No, I know that I could. You know, with the Bible Gateway app seems to be, you know, like you had said in previous podcasts that, which I'm listening to and trying to catch up with, the Bible Gateway app on the phone is really good at finding, you know, but it always starts off at the beginning of the chapters, and then you gotta read the whole chapter, but it's kind of difficult, yeah. But,
yeah, well, the thing I found about Bible Gateway is we have the app open, there's a search box, and all you gotta do real fast is hit that little dictate button, just getting close to the mic. Matthew 18, click, and it'll find it. It'll find that chapter. But you know, like I say, you do start at the beginning. And so by the time you find it, you forgot what verse the preacher is preaching at. It's like, oh, man, I got to swipe down. Does this sound familiar? Swipe, swipe, swipe. Nope, I'm not there yet. Nope, not there yet. And then by the time you find it, he's in reading again. It's like, oh, well, I tried. You said open my Bible. I tried. Well, he didn't.
I know, even my wife, she'll take her iPad to church, and she can, you know, she goes on her iPad. And a lot of people do anymore. They use their iPad instead of carrying their Bible to church, you know, right. Which I guess with the technology, well, that's fine, but there's nothing like seeing somebody watching you carry a Bible instead of an iPad, but still.
Because an iPad or an iPhone weighs all of a few ounces, whereas a Bible might weigh a couple pounds.
Yeah. But she uses an iPad, and she can usually follow along, you know, with the when they read the Bible. Right. That, she's playing games with headphones.
No, again, comparing that to the way a sighted person would do, a sighted person just has to, oh, I'm going to touch this and swipe there and scroll, there I am. But to with voice over, which is what's on iPhone, you have to find the little thing where the chapter is, and you have to find the scroll box and do the chapter and verse and hit go, and then you have, like I said, swipe through because it gives you the first verse, not where you want to be. And there's a couple extra layers of complexity that's not as easy as touch and point and go. And I think sometimes preachers also will put the verse up on the screen. And so it's up on the screen. I'm just going to plow right into this and go. So it's handy if preachers even though it may be up on the screen, and even though you think you're giving people enough time, right? Here's what I've done before. Like, if I'm going to be preaching a sermon, as soon as you stand up at the pulpit, you say, open up your Bibles to, and you give the verse. And then you go into your introductory setup for what you're going to talk about today. And then you say the scripture again. And then you might maybe launch into your opening prayer. And then you say the scripture again. Because that way, as people are going, you have to lean over to your wife and say, what verse was that again? What did he say? You know, hey, preachers, don't be afraid to say the passage multiple times. Just because people's pages stop flipping doesn't mean the blind guy with technology is quite there yet. There's noise in the background. It's getting kind of loud. Sorry again for that. But anyway, just some points there, you know. At least there's some observations that I've come across, things that are different for somebody who has a disability. In our case, particularly blindness. But now, do you have any other observations of how going to church worship experience may be different?
Well, I mean, me and my wife usually hang out together the whole time we're at church, so it's not like I have to wander around anywhere. Even, you know, even at the church, I mean, they have a family restroom, so if I have to go to the restroom, unless it's occupied, then I have to maneuver around to the men's restroom, and sometimes there's usually somebody that'll say, over there, over here, whatever, sinks here, soap down, whatever. But for the most part, we maneuver around to the church together. When we have a dinner or something afterwards, then sometimes I go through the line, and I mean, I have people, I never have anybody ask, like, Sunday morning, you know, hey, Terry, would you like a cup of coffee? You know, because I'm usually, you know, my wife always usually get everything for me, so.
So whenever you go with a spouse or a family member, that could be helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know there's probably other people that are by themselves, and it's always nice to get help from people.
So sometimes walking around the hallway. When I used to have my guide dog, we were living in Springfield, Illinois at the time. And I remember with the guide dog, he just gets up and goes, like, find the classroom, and then he just zooms right there. Okay, find the steps. He zooms right there. Up you go. There's this one person said, can I help you get to the steps? It's like, well, I got the guide dog here. Well, I can walk it there. It's like, I don't know, because he walks pretty fast. And they tried to grab a hold of my arm to kind of lead me on one side while the dog's walking on the other. And Mackie just takes off at his usual pace. And I'm just clipping along and, like, dragging them behind me. Like, sorry, he walks that fast. I'm sorry.
My dog used to love to go to church, too. He liked to go to church. He'd sit there, get his attention, and plop down and go to sleep like the rest of us.
And then he hears snoring in the middle of church, like, it's not me. Yeah. It's not me.
Exactly, right. Then he looked at me funny, it's the dog. It's pointing down at the floor. You know, it's like, I'd have my sunglasses on and people couldn't see your eyes, so I think it's you sitting there snoring. It's the dog. It's not me.
I just wanted to have this discussion about how
people out there who are, you know, worship teams, pastors, people in the church can have an idea of what it's like to have a disability, namely blindness, and, you know, have a worship experience at church. So we've done that. So here's the part where I would say, if you have a place people can find you on the web, but as I mentioned, I know you don't have any books, you're not a preacher, you don't have a podcast.
No.
But you do have something.
I've got a blind group.
Huh?
I've got a blind group.
Yeah, a blind group. And you want to tell people about the blind group?
Well, here in the Madison County, Illinois, where I live, we have a group of people, men and women. We have members as 18 to 100, but we don't have any that young or that old. But we have a couple in their 90s, but it's a group of blind people who get together once a month, and we, we're the Madison County Association of the Blind, and we're an affiliate of the Illinois Council of the Blind, which is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. And we help, our mission is to, we're not for profit, and we advocate for blind people's rights. Our mission is to enhance and enrich the lives of people in our community, surrounding communities who are blind or legally blind, to using peer-to-peer counseling. We help other blind people in our community. And I'm currently the president, and I'm a lifetime member of the Illinois Council of the Blind. I'm on the board of the Illinois Council of the Blind currently.
And now you mentioned peer-to-peer, and what that means is basically blind people helping other blind people cope right. with daily living skills and such.
Right.
It's not like
we
you
don't have
a rehab counselor or something.
Right. We don't have a facility or anything, and none of us are licensed or certified instructors. We're just blind people showing other blind people, hey, do you know how to do this? Do you know how to do that? And we've been getting along a lot better over time.
And
we're trying to do more to help people in our community.
Now on the internet, they can find your website at what location?
Right. It's www.mcabil.org.
And that stands for Madison County Association Blind, MCAB.
Right, in Illinois, you have to put the IL because
otherwise you get some other group in some other state.
Yeah, Wisconsin. Yeah, you wind up in Wisconsin. Yeah,
some other state. And so, in the off chance, some of our listeners could possibly be in Madison County, Illinois, which is right across the river from St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, stop by the website, drop a line to Terry. I'm sure you'd love to talk to them. And if they're not in your county and they're in Illinois, I bet you could probably hook them up with finding an affiliate to join or starting one.
We have all of my family members are in the group except for somebody.
Except for me, because I don't live in the county.
But you don't have to be blind to be a member of our organization, and you don't have to live in the county either. You can attend by telephone.
Yeah, teleconference line. That's what Terry is doing. Web location to look him up, and check it out and drop him a line, and hopefully
tell a friend.
Yeah, if you have questions. There you go. And so that's all I have for the show at this point. We always like to play a closing commercial from some fellow podcasters at Christian Podcast Community.
Looking for strategies that will help you engage in meaningful conversations with members of the Mormon Church? Well, if so, take a look at Sharing the Good News with Mormons, A new book produced by Harvest House Publishers and edited by Mormonism Research Ministries' Eric Johnson and Sean McDowell. Sharing the Good News with Mormons includes 24 helpful essays from 24 Christian apologists, scholars, and pastors. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or order directly from mrm.org.
The Christian Podcast Community. Our community is a cohesive group of like-minded Christian producers who podcast on areas of expertise and passion. The Christian Podcast Community is a cohesive group of like-minded podcasters proclaiming the truths of Christ with expertise and passion in the areas of theology, church history, Christian living, evangelism, apologetics, parenting, homeschooling, sermons, much, much more. So check us out at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. One stop for all your favorite Christian podcasts. ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
Commands of Christ, presented by Nathan Caldwell.
This is Paul speaking.
One.
Let love be without dissimulation.
Let love be shown without hypocrisy.
Okay. Don't fake it.
Two.
Abhor or hate that which is evil.
Three.
Cleave or hold on to that which is good.
Or cling to.
Mm-hmm.
Four.
Be kindly affectioned one to another in honor, preferring one another. What do you have? Because that can be confusing.
Outdo one another in showing honor.
That's great, isn't it? What it really, I think it's saying is, guess who comes first? If it's between you or your brother, guess who comes first?
Well, here, outdo one another in showing honor. Me and you are walking down the street. Hey, I'll get the door for you, Nate. You go inside. Hey, that's great. Hey, I'm going to buy lunch today. Okay, that's great. And I say, I'm going to get you right home. Oh, that's great. Hey, we're going to, and back and forth. Back
right.
And forth. Each one is doing a favor for the other, and it's a continuous back and forth.
Right. It's love one another.
That was Commands of Christ, presented by Nathan Caldwell.
Okay, and there we go. Lots of good resources from other podcasters in our community. Always good stuff there. There's always a growing number of people. I think they're up to 40 different podcasters now. So there's always room for more. Well, anyway, that's all I got. This is, this is your host, Keith, signing off. Thanks for listening. Please tell a friend about us, because telling somebody is really how we grow our audience the most. So leave us a review, but tell a friend. And we'll see you next week.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/LifeTruthPage. Follow us on Twitter at HNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell on you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.